You're listening to Remotely One, a podcast that educates, entertains, and inspires you to take your life back from the office commute. I'm Rick, a former beer rep who left the warehouse to become a voice actor and digital creator.
And I'm Kaleem, a remote work advocate and consultant. We're going to speak with some of the top professionals who have managed to avoid the commute as they share stories from the most inspiring to the most comical, all while working remotely.
Man, this sounds awesome. Let's clock in.
Well, as soon as you said HR, your view of HR is totally different from mine. But as soon as you said it, I thought to myself, this girl has seen some shit. I know HR stories are out there, so I'm dying to hear them.
Yeah, it's funny. Like when I first started working, my very first like real kind of buttoned up job was for a major corporation. And so I had that perspective of a company where they knew what they were doing and they had hundreds of people making sure that things were going right. And it was a college internship. And I was like learning that was the way that you were supposed to behave. And then right after that, my first like real job was a startup. And it's the complete opposite. Like we had like margaritas in the office and like a ball pit. I don't know why ball pit in the office, the opposite of remote work. Like they're trying to get us to like be there and make it a party. And I had this filter like, oh, I'm supposed to act a certain way because that's what I just came off of in this internship. And even though I wasn't yet like in an HR role, I was informally managing people. And I was like, oh no, I need to act like there's this like barrier between us. And then throughout the years, getting to know my team more and letting them get to know me. And they became, as most people in their very first job, living in a new city where I didn't have any other friends, like they became my friends. And I was like, okay, now there's just no, like you guys know me and you know me at work and you know that there's these subtle differences. So when I finally made the shift to remote, I made it very intentional that there wasn't such a drastic difference between how I was showing up at work versus like how I was showing up to my friends and family. And I'm sure we'll get into that, but you can grab some points in there.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone, to Remotely We Are One. I am your host, Rick, joined by my esteemed colleague, Kaleem. Hey, buddy.
What's up?
I'm excited for today's guest.
Yeah, me too. And the funny thing is, we've met each other so many times, like unofficially, like being in these groups, but we've never actually been able to hang out together. So I'm pretty excited about this.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing right now, man? You look good.
Me?
Yeah, you look great.
Oh, nobody. Oh, I thought you were talking to her, which makes more sense. No, I'm. I actually managed to shave today.
Yeah, you look clean, man. Listeners, you should see this young man right now. He's looking real good. He's cleaned up. He's looking good.
I'm feeling dapper. Dapper Dan over here.
Dapper Dan. I'm feeling great.
It must be because it's a Sunday, you know, Day of the Lord and all that stuff. Day of the Sabbath.
Oh, so many thoughts. Listen, about today's guest, I'm really geeked up. We participated in a couple of workplaceless networking events, so that was pretty neat. And even recently, we were just in a OPSI meetup with our colleague, Carol, who we had on the show as well. And I'm really excited to finally get a chance to ask her a bunch of questions and hang out. She graduated from McGill University, and she studied abroad at the College of Dublin. Wish I could have done that. A few Guinness, I think I would have a few.
I wouldn't have minded.
No, wouldn't mind. She learned how to make pie crust while working at a bakery on the weekends, which I think is pretty interesting. She's traveled to 40 plus different countries. She used to be the director of people at DuckDuckGo. And now she's currently co-writing a book called Remote Works. Ladies and gentlemen, please give us a warm welcome for Miss Allie Green. Everyone.
Yay!
Yay!
You're so awesome! You're so awesome!
Hello. Can we make it like a really warm welcome? Because I live in the south of Spain and it's freezing here. And so, yeah. All right, really? I'm ready.
We'll do our best.
Hey, for southeastern United States right now, it's been pretty cold where we are. I think it's like 50 degrees or something like that.
People are always freezing. Like, you're born in Detroit and you went to McGill and lived in Canada, like how do you complain about this stuff? But the apartments are not set up for it being dark now at almost 7 p.m. So I'm a little lost, but I'm ready to chat because
we are so excited
to just talk a lot.
Yeah.
D-Town, son. D-Town, son. 8 Mile. B-Rabbit. Let's go.
I'll save my rapping skills for a follow-up podcast. Nobody wants to hear that from me.
Nowadays, everybody got something to say. Nothing comes out when they move their lips.
There it is. Wow, there Rick. You go. Yes.
I'm the whitest guy in the room, apparently. Hey, anyway. No, Allie, we are so excited to have you here. You've been doing this a long time. And as we mentioned in the pre-show, I am new to this industry. So I'm really looking forward to learning from you. If you could, just give us a little bit of background and your initial experience with remote work. How did you get started?
Yeah. So I always like to tell this story that I think is kind of like witty. And it's about how I lived in New York City and people that work and live in New York City think that they've hit this career jackpot. And there's a lot of hype about climbing the career ladder there. It sucks. Like you spend ridiculous amounts of money for really crappy apartments. You have to commute hours to go sit in an office. It's not 9 to 5 in New York City. It's like 8 to 6. And if you miss one subway, then you can't get there at 8. And it's just this rat race. And for me, the rat race just, it didn't work. And so I usually talk about starting my remote work story there because I was working in New York and it wasn't for me. And I had this great opportunity where I was like planning how to break my lease and quit my job and go to South America and go to Machu Picchu, because how much more cliche can you get? But luck would have it that my company really needed me. And so I was able to find a way to stay on and consult with them until they were able to continue to grow their learning and development team. And that was my first taste of remote work back in 2014, actually. But as I keep telling this story, I actually realized that I did remote work or a version of it way before then. It's just that people didn't know what remote work was, so nobody was calling it that. And that was back in 2010 when I was working for Living Social, a startup in Washington, D.C. Rick and I, we were just bonding over this in the pre-show too. And what I was telling you, as that company grew, they kept growing out office space, like more than they could find it. So we started in one little office. Then they grew into a second office. They grew into a third office. And so what would happen was if it was raining, people didn't want to go from one office across town to the other office to have a meeting. And so the year's 2010, what did they do? They picked up their phone and we had conference calls in these different offices. And then someone took notes in that call and emailed it all to each other. And that's remote work. We just happened to all be remote working from offices in Washington, D.C. But as we started hiring on the ground salespeople in the United States and then in Canada and in all these different countries around the world, which are people that I directly worked with, it was like, wait, not only am I not going to an office a 20-minute walk away, I'm doing this on a conference call, but I'm also then now being managed by someone who's living in LA and talking to a salesperson in Montreal. Like that was remote work. People just didn't call it that then. So when I think about my remote work story, really it starts there. It was formalized in 2014 when I had this opportunity to go backpacking and start doing HR consulting, and then really hit its peak, like expertise level during my time at DuckDuckGo, where they were fully remote, fully distributed around the world. And I led their people ops team and helped them continue to scale and have that global presence, and had people in Japan, in South America, all over Europe. I was a digital nomad, so I was in like every crazy time zone during my time there. And then left my role there in the end of February 2020. If only I knew what was about to happen. Was going to take this personal sabbatical and relearn how to ski, went to the French Alps, got my like ski ticket, got everything prepared. And then the world shut down. And I was like, well, I'm not going to take a personal sabbatical in a studio apartment in France when I'm only allowed to leave for an hour a day. And I realized how many people were struggling. And so that's when me and my good friend started having these conversations about remote work done right, and started to put down all of our thoughts into a book and lead workshops around that. And that's where I am today. Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's been a wild couple of years.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting journey. I'm very curious, you know, DuckDuckGo, I'd love to know, what was that process like? The interview process, I'm just curious what the interview process was like. And then on top of that, they were a growing company, and I'm sure they're still probably growing, I'm assuming. And what was that like to work with a fast startup like that? And what were some of the challenges that they were solving or solved that a lot of organizations who were forced into this remote work are probably having challenges with now, you know, because it must be interesting just seeing that play out. Like, wow, everyone's talking about, for example, I don't know, async versus synchronous. And that was a challenge that we solved earlier or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. So the hiring was fascinating. So that's evolved a lot since my time there. And when I first got in touch with Gabriel, the CEO of DuckDuckGo, it was after this personal journey I had. So to put it back into context, I left my rundown studio apartment in New York City, did the Machu Picchu backpacking South America thing, realized like, hey, I can answer emails from my hostel in South America. Like, I'm able to communicate with people in this really remote place in the world while I was still doing consulting work for my last company. Got back to the United States and basically was like still in this very traditional mindset of like, okay, I'm an adult and adults need a place to live and they need to put down roots. So I might have realized that I don't necessarily need to go into an office every day, but I need somewhere to live. And so I moved to Philadelphia. Philly's really cool. Their food scene's awesome. Awesome street art, good music. Like there's a lot of great reasons you can move to Philadelphia. I moved there. And then I was like, okay, cool. So I live here now. Maybe I'll continue to do consulting for myself and start an HR consulting business. But also maybe I'll just find a job, but I don't want to compromise on certain values because now I have answered emails the day before I hiked to Machu Picchu while I was in Peru. I have now done HR consulting for a company in New York while I was, you know, living at home temporarily with my parents in Detroit and working at a sports bar in the evenings and like working at a bakery on the weekends while trying to build my HR business. Like I can do all of these things that are very different at the same time. And so if a company is going to expect me to come into an office and be creative on their terms, that's not going to work for me. Yeah, and so tough. I was very that's bold tough. About that.
Yeah.
And I kept interviewing and saying that truth to people and getting rejected from jobs and being like, why does nobody like these ideas?
Yeah. You raise a really great question, which leads to my next question. Yeah. What do you think is one of the biggest challenges that leaders have with workplace flexibility at the moment?
Oh, yeah. So many things. I'm going to circle back to that. So just quickly to wrap up with why I got to DuckDuckGo is that, so like I heard Gabriel and his vision of a company was like, he basically was like, I'm going to hire people that are adults and adults, they're going to do good work if they care about the vision and if they have the right tools to be successful. And then I don't care where they're located. I don't care when they're working because I know they're going to want to get the job done. And so, Rick, back to your question of like, that's ultimately like how I found DuckDuckGo. Their hiring process was consulting to full-time at the beginning. So I consulted with them for a long time. We joked that it was sort of like courting, like we would sit down and define the relationship and talk about like, okay, are you ready to like fully commit to each other? And like, what does that look like? And then we did it and it was awesome. And so there was a lot about setting expectations too, about like, these are my concerns before I join a company. And for me, it was, I had come from companies that were always startups and always tech, but not necessarily as technical. And like, am I going to be able to understand at the level of leadership what these conversations are about? How am I going to learn these things if I'm not like next to someone learning these things? And so being able to test that out in a remote setting was really beneficial. And so some of the things I'm talking about that I was able to do during my time at DuckDuckGo, and we worked on refining and tweaking that process and making that process more efficient, making it easier for people to go through that process. And that's now what I left them with. And I don't know how it's evolved in the past few years to continue to be a great hiring process. But what I learned in that experience that I've then taken to teach other remote companies, and that I think, to answer your question, Rick, that companies need to be aware of, is that leaders are struggling with workplace flexibility right now because they flat out don't have the remote work acumen skills to be good leaders. And they're, I think, holding on to these old mental models of like how things used to happen and what used to work. And they're not opening their mind up to how things can get done. And I remember when I used to go into job interviews and be like, I'm really creative when I'm riding my bike. And so when I'm doing these things, I am actually working because I'm thinking creatively about a problem, but you don't think that I'm working because I'm not sitting in an office. And yes. I think that shift needs to happen for a lot of leaders still. And they haven't had time, especially during the pandemic, to make that shift happen because they haven't had the chance to have these real life experiences for themselves. And when I speak to things like remote work acumen, some of the things that I brought up during the story about DuckDuckGo is exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about expectation setting. What is your expectation of a worker? What is my expectation of a business owner? Do these expectations match? And if they don't, how do we agree on new expectations? What does that look like? Do we decide at a individual basis? Do we decide that at a team basis? Do we decide that at a department basis? Like the engineering team does something different than the design team, or do we decide that at the company basis? That answer depends for every company. So the next thing people need, and I've heard this on your podcast before, and I've heard this from many of the people that I consider to be my peers and remote work experts that I admire, is intentionality. If you aren't thinking and asking yourself why all of the time, then you're never going to have remote work acumen because things change all of the time. So I think those are like hands down skills that people need to learn to be good remote work leaders. And then there's like the next set of skills that are a little bit more like fine print, like asynchronous communication. I'm sure we'll talk about managing your energy, managing your schedule, not just for yourself, but if you're a manager or leader, but for your team. How to come up with what I call standard operating behaviors, and what does that look like for your organization? So I'm like talking a lot now, but I think those are like the skill set that leaders need to learn.
I'm sorry, we're all zoomed in.
I'm like, where am I going with this thought? I know I had a point, but
it's all good stuff.
It's great.
These are basically like the skills, and like we've never had a chance to learn these skills. People don't teach you these skills yet. My prediction is that remote work acumen, if you study business in a formal setting, like in university, will start to be part of the curriculum. My prediction is when you're a junior level employee at a company that's big enough to have a formal learning and development program, that these are things that are going to be part of a career development program. My prediction is if you don't have either of those two things, but that you're entering the business world, these are the things that are going to be sink or swim, and you're going to have to learn these things on your own and use free resources available to you, like webinars and books and things, maybe not free in that case, but things that you can use and then build your own experiences upon to get good at these things in order to be a leader in the future.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the things that we're talking about that we're noticing when you're looking at managers and the challenges that they're having, a lot of this is kind of centered around trust and really about this human being more human, if that makes any sense. You know, we say the word culture, and we talk about let me get my work done when I can, and we talk about setting expectations, goal setting, and a lot of these things that you hear, being empathetic, having more empathy, all of these things that we're talking about are all around being more human. And I'm actually very excited about it because there's a certain industry that always learned this in business, industrial psychology, you know, whatever you want to call it, human resources, organizational development. There is a small sector and it's always been the soft skills. It's always been, oh, well, it's very hard to quantify. over the past year or so, this is the shift that we're seeing. We're seeing the shift in the importance of flexibility. The survey that's gone around where flexibility has now gone above salary as far as wants of a new job or motivations for a new job. And to me, that has nothing to do with, you know, they're not teaching that necessarily in all business leadership, but they will. So I just, I like what you were saying about how at DuckDuckGo, the CEO there was saying, we're going to hire adults. What he was talking about was drive, being a creative, being caring. And I think that kind of bounces more over to the human side versus like, what's your IQ or how smart you are, or how great you can write a case study, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like we have this saying at DuckDuckGo that I think about a lot that I think will save a lot of new remote workers time and energy, which is as simple as like most respectful interpretation. And even if you haven't worked remotely before, I'm sure you've gotten a text from a significant other or a crush or a friend and you read it and you're like, why does this text end with a period? Like, do they hate me? Or like, why is this written in caps? Or like, just all of these things.
No caps. Don't write in caps.
We as humans question and obsess over and internalize, and we bring our own, you know, baggage or traumas or crappy moods or experiences and stressors that we've had during the day to read something. But to just take a pause and say, actually, let me throw that out the window. What's the most respectful interpretation of what I'm looking at right now? Maybe it's autocorrect, put the period in, or that they forgot to turn off the caps lock and they just wrote the message really quickly because they were really hungry and they wanted to send this message out because they knew that I was waiting to hear back and then they wanted to go get food. Like all of those things can just make you laugh at these potential miscommunications. And then you can go back with a calm mind and just say, hey, can you clarify what you meant by this? Or I noticed that you wrote this in this way. And here's just some candid feedback about like how I interpreted that. And I think if everybody was just a little bit more like humorous at work and open-minded at work and able to make mistakes and forgive people and put that ego aside, that as humans working together, the workplace could be a lot more enjoyable. As a small part of PeopleOps, I consider it is human resources, because PeopleOps is so much more than that. Oftentimes looking at some of the conflicts that bubbled up to my attention, so many times it was miscommunication and just people not really fully understanding where the other person was coming from. And the easiest way to solve that miscommunication was to put the ego aside and just ask and be curious and want to be on the same team with someone else.
We'll be right back after these words.
2020 was no joke. It changed the game for everyone. Workplace flexibility is no longer a perk, but an expectation. In fact, a recent study showed that a flexible schedule is more important than salary. Yeah, you heard that right. Employees want choices over cash. If you're a startup or a small business that doesn't have a remote work strategy, stop what you're doing right now and complete our free tree assessment at blendmeinc.com. Since 2013, BlendMe Inc. has been helping small businesses improve the remote employee experience. Let's stay local, but compete global. Visit us at blendmeinc.com. That's blendmeinc.com.
Ever wonder how certain ads catch your attention or get stuck in your head? It's because the person voicing it knows how to tell the story. Now, maybe they're telling you to stumble over to Sullivan's St. Patrick's Day for green beers, Irish car bombs, and corned beef all freaking day. Or maybe, don't miss the deal of a lifetime this President's Day at Callahan Ford. Savings like these should be unconstitutional. Or maybe,
come wash away your troubles here at Cooter's Car Wash. We ain't no soap opera, but you'll be singing high praises. Hoo-wee, Cooter's.
Or, here at Brooks Brothers Mortuary, we put the fun in funeral. Everyone is just dying to join us. All right, well, that's a bit much. But for you, I'll do it. I'm Rick Haney, and if you're a business owner looking for a creative voice in your marketing, look no further. I'll tell your story the way you want it told. Follow along at RemotelyWeAre1 or visit my website at rickhaney.me for more information.
And now back to the show.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many jobs I've had and had to leave, not because I didn't like the job, but because I had really non-communicative, shitty managers, to be truthful. It was most of the time people leave the jobs, it's not necessarily the job, it's the people above them that just don't know how to talk to other people. And I, unfortunately, I've had that many times in my life. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. What's that phrase called? There's a phrase, right? Like people don't leave jobs.
They leave people managers. Don't leave their job. They leave their boss.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's mid-level so many times.
Yeah. I just want to circle back real quick to the define your expectations that we were talking about earlier. Obviously, when you do that, you want to avoid the pitfalls of unrealistic expectations. But what advice would you give to people? Like when you're saying define your expectations, when you're speaking with people who are new to this industry, what advice could you give them when they want more flexibility, but they're kind of like trepidatious about making the leap?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. So the like inner nerd in me already is honing in on like flexibility is too vague of a word to set expectations around. So I have two sayings that I use all of the time in my life is like mismatched expectations is the source of all conflict. And that's like number one truth in like who it means to be Allie Green. And then two is like, even if you think you know what a word means, define what that word means and define it clearly and obviously so that the other person has a chance to respond. Because already, if you're talking about a topic from your point of view and your definition, and the other person is talking about a topic from their point of view and their definition, and you never share your definitions with each other, already you could be setting the wrong expectations. So if you think about something like flexibility, already I think, okay, what does flexibility mean to you? You have something like time flexibility, meaning that you can get your work done whenever throughout a period of time that you want to get it done. You might have something like location flexibility, like you want to get your work done from home, from an office, from a beach in Thailand, from a co-working space, from a friend's house. You might have work style flexibility, meaning like you want to choose the tools that you're using when you're actually doing the meat of the work. And then maybe you're going to translate the final product into company approved tools. So if I'm doing a creative project and I really like to hand sketch things and then take pictures and upload those pictures into Notion, I'm going to do that instead of doing everything from the get-go in design. That could be something like workplace flexibility. So I think already spelling out exactly what flexibility means to you as someone new to remote working, regardless of what industry you're in, you can start to think about like, okay, what does it mean to me? Why is it important? And what am I willing to compromise on? Maybe I want time flexibility because there's all of these other things in my life that I can't necessarily control. Like I'm a caregiver and I want to go to all of these appointments and it's easier to make these appointments in off hours and therefore I need time flexibility. But I cannot have location flexibility because I work in 3D printing and I need access to a 3D printer.
Yes.
And so then you can start to define what flexibility means, given your specific role in your specific company, but also for you specifically as a person.
That makes so much sense because what that does is it allows you to get both, kind of look at it as being like on a train. And now, whether you're talking to your supervisor or your manager, both of you are now kind of on the same train. And now that you've thought about those different areas of flexibility, you're talking about location, you're talking about time. I love to call these things, decision matrices or decision rubrics. Like now you're coming up with this kind of thing of, hey, I can be a little more flexible on the hours, but I can't be flexible on the location. So when I'm having this conversation of what flexibility means, it's like, hey, my flexibility does not entail the location changing. Just let's start that. I don't plan on moving, and that's not the flexibility that I'm looking for. So you don't have to have that as a manager, that anxiety about that area. So in a way, it helps you frame your discussion as you're having the discussion. It's kind of very
interesting. Yeah, exactly. And I think it helps both parties know what to ask for and know what their limitations are. So
yeah.
You can go into that conversation with a plan, and it's like choosing off a menu if you want. Like, okay, you have, if you're like building, I'm really into poke bowls and I like to make my own poke bowl. Oh, and it's like, so okay, good. Do you want like sushi rice, or do you want salad, or do you want quinoa? And it's like, okay, I have these three choices. Which one do I want? Can I have half and half? Can I have half salad, half sushi rice? Is that even possible? Pick your protein, pick your vegetables. But you can't do that until you actually define all of the options. So like, what are all the grains? What are all the fish? What are all the possible locations you can work in? And I think if an employer really wants to be next level, and why is really important, because that's when treating your employees like adults and collaborators is really important, because there could be a reason why with a solution you haven't even thought of yet. I see these memes on LinkedIn all the time of the bad remote company if they say it's remote, but then it's US only. And I agree. I'm a digital nomad. Like, I'm an American currently living in Spain. Like, I've lived in Cape Town, in Vietnam, in Thailand. Like, I've been all over the world. Like, I'm a huge advocate for work from anywhere means like the entire galaxy, if it could, and space travel becomes a thing one day. Sure. But I also have worked in human resources and know for a lot of companies, they don't have the knowledge or resources yet to understand what that means from a compliance standpoint, from a tax standpoint.
Yeah.
But there are lots of companies out there that are experts in that, and that could come and help companies. And so a manager might not know that. An HR person at a small company that's learning how to work remotely for the first time might not know that. But an employee who really wants to work remotely and sees like, hey, I have a friend who is doing a digital nomad program and is currently in France, or my partner is from a different country and we're trying to figure out how our visas are going to work together, which is my personal situation. Like, how do we make that happen? You hear about these things from your personal network and can bring it back to your company. And it's not just helping you, but it's helping lots of people in your company. And so I think that's when having those options and honest two-way conversations from the employee to the employer and backwards helps. And at the end of the day, like, if that doesn't happen and you define your expectations, you have a plan, you go off the menu, they're out of salmon and you really want salmon and there's no negotiation about that, and you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go get a poke bowl somewhere else. Like, I'm going to go get a job somewhere else. You already have thought about what flexibility means to you. You already know exactly the options you want. And now the best part is, as a job seeker, you know all of the right questions to ask for your remote job search during the interview process. Like, how would you handle me wanting this type of location flexibility? What does time flexibility mean to you? Not just saying like, oh, our company's really flexible. Come work for us. Yeah, we're a flexible company. Like, we treat our employees really well. Yeah. Okay, let me ask you. I have these like five requirements. Like, how would you handle my situation?
Self-reflection is so powerful.
Yeah, that actually happened to me. I came from a job, my former job, that was, they tracked my every move. They knew where I was. They knew who I was talking to. I was actually timed, if you can believe it. And I was sold a bill of goods that just was not true. You know, they gave me a company vehicle and all this, but they wanted to know where I was at all times. So when I came to my current position, I said that, and I laid it all out. I said, I cannot be micromanaged that way. And that's why I left my old job. I will tell you, if you can trust me, and I will give you every reason to trust me, if you can trust me and we can trust each other, I will get the job done. And they allowed me that opportunity to prove myself. And we have a great rapport now. Like, I'm not going to toot my own horn, but I'm actually
Come on, toot your own horn. Go for it.
No, I'm killing it in the sales field. I mean, I'm putting this brewery on the map.
Yeah.
So
he's dapper and he toots his own horn.
I mean, look at him, dude. He's so cleaned up. I can't believe it.
And the sun is shining where he is. I'm so jealous.
He looks like Mr. He looks like the Iceman.
I'm like hoping that my shivers don't come through on the podcast. I need four blankets right now.
I'm so sorry to hear that. But anyway, that's my quick story. But Allie, now it's time for yours. Tell us a comical or inspiring moment that you've had while working remotely.
Ooh, okay. So good.
So most of my stories come from being a digital nomad, which wasn't a trendy term when I started traveling the world. And it's really funny now that I'm reading all these news articles and people are talking about the next revolution of remote work is going to be people traveling the globe. Well, I've been doing it for a while and to some pretty off the beaten path places where they've built themselves as like co-working places, but really we're just like hostels trying to get guests during off season.
Yeah.
The co-work Bellagio.
Yeah, like all of the funny stories involve me as the culprit, which just goes to show, I think, as again, as a leader in an organization, like having a little bit of humor can go a long way. And like, you're seeing a lot of judgmental things, I think, in the media about like people's backgrounds on Zoom and like how people are interacting in this new world. Yep. And like, yes, depending on your company, you should have a level of professionalism. Like everybody's striving to put their best foot forward, but also embarrassing things happen to you. And it doesn't mean that you're less intelligent, less capable, less hardworking. And so for me,
just wait. So you're just setting that, are you just setting this all up that you're a straight professional, but this story that I'm about to tell you, just don't judge me. Was that basically a preface?
I mean, you know, okay. I'm going to leave that there. So for me, I went to this place that was billed as a co-working with accommodation. And I was like, this is great. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to go to this dedicated workspace. I'm going to have this really like clean, professional looking background with really strong Wi-Fi to do all my calls.
Can you tell us like where you are doing this research from and where you are going to without being too descriptive?
I was located in the Balkan countries in Eastern Europe.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was summer.
All right.
It was a really hot summer. So I get there and it's like a fine place. But again, there weren't that many guests there specifically for working. And the owner of this place was a really great business person who knew that this digital nomad trend was coming and owned other tourism businesses, which was like stand-up paddleboarding, kayaking, like mountain biking, sort of adventure sports. So the guides, the leaders of these adventure sports lived also in the same accommodation. Yep. So now if you can imagine like the types of people that lead kayaking trips. Definitely. And me, director of people, having serious conversations about
far out, bro, far out.
How to give really good feedback, like what our compensation policy should be, like what our company culture should look like, how to be better managers. The list goes on. And also Eastern Europe, where a lot of my colleagues were in the United States. So I was working mostly like in the late afternoons and evenings. The story gets better where the bathrooms and like the showers were in the co-working space.
Okay.
This is interesting, really communal, which is great. You know, isolation is a problem for remote workers.
Of course.
Cool. Like, we're going to make this work. I was on a video call, like having a really, really strong opinion. I can't remember what now because this was so many years ago. And from the corner of my eye, like I see the kayaking crew coming back in like their swimsuits without shirts on, going to get their like afternoon showers and get like the seawater out of them. And I'm like, okay, this isn't good. Like, this doesn't look good. I don't want anyone to think in my co-working space that people just walk around in bathing suits and without shirts on.
There's nothing wrong with being a part of a nudist colony, Allie. I mean, that was what was going on there. I mean,
contrary to popular opinions, nudists can be professionals too, you know.
Everyone can be a professional, 100%. So that was quite funny. I still to this day don't know if anybody else noticed, because I was able to move my camera around really quickly. But I internalized that for days and was like, what's going on? So this might be the first some of my coworkers are hearing about this. But it was just really funny, the setup of this place.
And they have the kayak stuff with them and their own flip flops, you know, just shorts, nothing on really. I get that. Mm.
To this day, I've traveled to places where I'm working the odd time zone and I've had to set alarms in the middle of the night to get up for meetings, working in Asia. And I would go out to dinner with my friends and rush back to my apartment, try to get in a 15-minute cat nap. And accidentally never turned the alarm on and missed a meeting. And again, humans being humans, and luckily in those instances have had amazing people that I've worked with. I've never, because of asynchronous communication, have never missed anything completely urgent where I've had people ping me and call, follow up with me. And I was able to be oh yeah, I'm ready. Ready to go. Let's do this.
That's good.
And also a lesson learned is hey, if someone's a really important stakeholder, don't have a 4 a.m. meeting, regardless of where they are in the world. Let's think about most respectful meeting times where everybody Definitely. Can be well rested and mentally agile to do this meeting. So a 7 a.m. meeting for a 7 p.m. meeting, if there's a 12-hour time zone difference, is nobody's regular working hour, but a more respectful working hour than someone waking up at 4 a.m. So just had small little things like that where just navigating.
I mean, nothing to get fired about. I mean, there's nothing to get fired about.
Nothing insanely crazy. Again, I come from a pretty straight edge background where I'm this is the end of the world. But over time, I've learned how to have a bit of a sense of humor about it and have learned that as we grow with the digital nomad lifestyle and the professional corporate lifestyle merging, these are things that are going to come up and people are going to have to learn how to navigate them, because there's just only so much infrastructure that certain places in the world have available if you're sharing communal spaces. I organized a summer retreat this summer in a castle, and it was a family co-working retreat. And we had small children there. And for many people that are parents, they know what it's like to work during the pandemic with small children. For a lot of people, this was their first time experiencing that. And I actually think it was really great that there were certain single people for the first time in their life experiencing co-working with smaller children around. There was a separate co-working office completely isolated from where the families were. But if they decided to work in more of the casual living area and all of a sudden a kid cut their knee open and was having a meltdown, hey, that happens in real life. That happens to your colleagues. And now just be empathy. Have a little bit of a sense of humor and have some empathy.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that you're not showing up to work and doing your best and doing a good job and getting your goals met. At the end of the day, did you get the work done and did you do a good job? What else really matters?
Nothing. In my opinion, anyway.
Nothing else matters.
Allie Green, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting with you. Where can people find you? Any websites or social media profiles that you'd like to highlight?
All of the use. So I'm on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So you can follow me personally. Remote Works book on LinkedIn also exists. And we're going to start posting more content there as we get going.
Allie, I'd love a preview copy. I'll pay for it, of course.
Yeah.
But I want a preview copy of it signed so I can take a selfie with it. That's my thing now. I'm starting to take selfies
the book
with
selfies.
Remote book books. Yes. Yeah.
As soon as we have updates, we'll definitely be sharing that. And you will be one of the first to know. But we are launching a really cool thing soon with a company called Gather, who's helping.
Yes, love Gather. Shout out, Alex. Get you on the show, man.
Gather is putting one of our concepts from a book into their tool. And so you can get a free sneak peek of our energy tracker, through them. So that's going to be awesome and coming out in just like a week or two. And you can learn more through them and through following us on LinkedIn. And then if you care about digital nomad life and the, like, you know, kind of glamour shots of me working at cafes overlooking the beach and sometimes co-working with people that don't wear shirts, you can follow me on Instagram. It's Seeing Green, and green has an E at the end. And I tend to post more of my, like, silly pictures of working and remote work life and traveling around Europe there.
Cool. They're cool. They're fun. Enjoy the LinkedIn. She goes to a lot of cool places.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Allie.
Thanks again, Allie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Remotely One. Visit us at remotelyone.com/podcast for upcoming episodes. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our episodes on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, don't forget to clock out.